Jayal Radhaman Punjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Hare Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Nuramaneti Dham Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Jamunamayi Ki Jai Srimati Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Shyamaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Vrantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 19, The Appearance of Shukadev Goswami, text 19. Maharshayo Vaisamupagataye. Maharshayo Vaisamupagataye. Prashasya sadvityanu modamanaha. Prashasya sadvityanu modamanaha. Uchu prajanu grahashila sara. Uchu prajanu grahashila sara. Yad uttama shloka guna virupam. Yad uttama shloka guna virupam. Maharshayo vai samupagataye. Vashashya sadvitya numodan manaha. Uchu prajanu graha shila sara. Yad uttama shloka guna birupam. Please check. Shasha sabitya nirmur tamanaha Uchu praja nukraha shila sara Yad uttama shloka guna birupam. Anyone else? Maharshaya, the great sages. Why? As a matter of course. Samupagataha. Assembled there. Yay. Those who? Prashasya. By praising. Sadhu. Quite all right. Iti. Thus. Anumodamanaha. All approving. Uchu. Said. Praja anugraha, doing good to the living being. Shila saraha, qualitatively powerful. Yet, because uttama shloka, one who is praised by selected poems. Guna abhirupam, as beautiful as godly qualities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. All the great sages who were assembled there also praised the decision of Maharaj Parikshit, and they expressed their approval by saying, "Very good." Naturally, the sages are inclined to do good to common men, for they have all the qualitative powers of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they were very much pleased to see Maharaj Parikshit, a devotee of the Lord, and they spoke as follows. Actually, let's do it responsively as well. But all the great sages who were assembled there also praised the decision of Maharaj Parikshit. And they expressed their approval by saying, "Very good."
And they expressed their approval by saying, "Very good."
Naturally, the sages are inclined
to do good to common men.
For they have all the qualitative powers of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they were very much pleased to see Maharaj Parikshit. A devotee of the Lord. And they spoke as follows. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The natural beauty of a living being is enhanced by rising up to the platform of devotional service. Maharaj Parikshit was absorbed in attachment for Lord Krishna. Seeing this, the great sages assembled were very pleased, and they expressed their approval by saying, "Very good." Such sages are naturally inclined to do good to the common man, and when they see a personality like Maharaj Parikshit advance in devotional service, their pleasure knows no bounds, and they offer all blessings in their power. The devotional service of the Lord is so auspicious that all demigods and sages, up to the Lord himself, became pleased with the devotee, and therefore the devotee finds everything auspicious. All inauspicious matters are removed from the path of a progressive devotee. Meeting all the great sages at the time of death was certainly auspicious for Maharaj Parikshit, and thus he was blessed by the so-called curse of a brahmana's boy. Om jnanati mirandasya jnananjana shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam yena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Panditam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Vaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'd like to ask for the blessings of all the devotees here and online and everywhere. Srimad Bhagavatam is such a blessing on us, the beautiful story of the personality of Godhead. And this chapter is especially wonderful because Shukadeva Goswami will be appearing later in the chapter. As I read the purport just now, several things came to mind. One is that Maharaj Parikshit, up to this point, he has not yet Shukadev Goswami has not yet appeared, and yet the sages are already so pleased with Maharaj Parikshit because he's saying, if you just all give me your blessings and I can sit here on the bank of the Ganga, if you give me, we heard, I think 2 days ago, Kanasham had the verse, that if I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord, Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. So what a qualified hearer he was. Already before the talks began, he was completely, really self-realized. Actually, somewhere, I don't remember where, Prabhupada said, Maharaj Parikshit could have been the speaker, and Shukadeva Goswami could have been the hearer. But it occurred this way, but they're both fully qualified. So when the speaker is qualified and the hearer is qualified, then transcendental knowledge takes place. So what a gift. Such sages as were gathered there at Naimisharanya, they're on the bank of the Ganga. This is before Naimisharanya. So they're inclined to do good to the common man. So that goes with what we heard the other day, that they maintain friendly relations with all living entities. Someone may feel inimical towards a devotee, but he doesn't return that feeling of animosity, but he just wishes well. And and by his good blessings, then we get the opportunity, the common men get the opportunity to hear and relish the absolute truth. I was thinking how Srila Prabhupada once in Hawaii, when they had the kind of dictaphone or dictating machine that would measure how much Prabhupada had done in a night. They would, how many numbers were on the machine. So in the morning after he'd been translating, one devotee asked him, how many digits did you translate tonight, you know, wanting to encourage, oh, you did so much. And Prabhupada just looked at him and he said, oh, I can translate very quickly, but it takes great concentration how to present it for the common man. So this is the thing that Prabhupada came with a particular mission given by his Guru Maharaj 100 years ago this year, 1922, they first met. And before Prabhupada and his friend had even gotten up from paying obeisances, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, you're educated young men. Why don't you preach Lord Chaitanya's gospel to the English-speaking people in the English-speaking world? So he took it to heart. He didn't get initiated right away, but the initiation had taken place. The seed was planted, and Prabhupada cherished that desire and intention for the rest of his life. So, wishing all good to the common men. What actually happened for me when I first read this verse that was assigned this verse is I kind of got stuck on the last line, because the last line is yad uttama shloka guna virupam. So it reminded me of another verse that has uttama shloka in it, and it's a verse that Prabhupada chose to use as the first verse he quoted in the preface to the Krishna book. So I brought the book that has that verse in it. And it's not a verse I ever took the trouble to memorize, and yet I see that I've memorized it just from hearing it so many times over the years. So it's 10th canto. Now, where did it go? It's 10th canto, chapter 1, text, oh, here we go, text 4. And if anybody knows it, you can say it with me. Nivritta tarsher upagiya manad babosada chotra mano virama ka uttama shloka guna nuvada puman virajeta bina pashugna. So the translation, and interestingly, although Prabhupada quotes it at the beginning of the preface, he doesn't really translate it right there. But here's the translation from the 10th canto. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false, temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher? Or one who is killing his own self. So interesting that Prabhupada chose this verse before beginning the Krishna book, because the Krishna book is full of stories of Krishna. 10th canto is very much the pinnacle of the Srimad Bhagavatam, singing the Jai Radha Madhava prayers, Yashoda Nandana, Braja. Yeah, I picture Mother Yashoda tying up Krishna to that mortar. On the bank of the Jamuna, he's playing with his friends or playing with the cowherd girls. He's holding up Giriraj and inviting all the Vrijvasis, come and take shelter. Don't worry. Don't be afraid and think it will fall from my hand. You know, and they're underneath the hill for 7 days, no hunger, no thirst. They didn't even want to sleep. They're just amazed to see how is Krishna holding the hill for one whole week. And the cowherd men, they were thinking, oh, he's just a little boy. He needs some help. So they were taking their sticks and helping him to hold the hill. And all these things Prabhupada gave so early, right away. And it's true, for the common man, they read like stories. If you weren't a devotee and you just read this book, you would just think, oh, these are like fairy tales, but they're so attractive. I should read them to my children. I should share these stories because they're so nice. But also, like Nectar of Devotion and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, but especially Krishna book, is called Summary Study of the 10th Canto. And in one place, one time Prabhupada said, Summary Study means I can do what I like. So he's telling all the, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam with the commentaries, which I've never done, but I've heard so many classes, I know that in the commentaries, practically he's going verse by verse as he tells the stories. But he'll stop and say, Krishna will say, as I told Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, which isn't really there in the 10th canto, but Prabhupada wants to make sure that we get who Krishna is. That he's not just a little boy who's charming and full of attractive antics, but that he is the summum bonum, the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the original person, the primal entity, all these things are coming through. So, and that Uttama Shloka word that caught my mind means one who is praised by selected poems. So, he's referred to in that way in many, many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other books. But another thing that came to my mind when I heard that when I remembered that verse and how it ends, that who will not like to hear these things except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Then I remembered, because I was at Gita Nagari for so many years, and Satsrut Maharaj was engaged at that time in writing Prabhupada Lilamrita, we were hearing, as the books were coming out, so many wonderful things about Srila Prabhupada we never had known before. And when he finished writing this, the six volumes, he then wrote some small, condensed, kind of like sutras about Prabhupada's life in this series of books, remembering Srila Prabhupada. So they're very, they're small poems, but if, especially if you've already read the Lilamrita or heard these past, and you just read this one little poem and you feel, all that is coming. So this is the introduction to remembering Srila Prabhupada. You didn't want a book about you. Give us volumes of books on Krishna, you said. Finally, in your last days, you assented. We may do it if it is spiritual. There is a way you liked us to speak of your achievements and of old days, especially your first in America. So it goes on. It's actually several pages, but one part of it, he says, because his lila is sweet, because by hearing we are cleansed, and because we must, let us tell his life story. Everyone will like it, except the beast. So it's just a rephrasing of the, who will cease hearing the glorification of Krishna except a butcher, or one who is killing his own self. And then the purport of that, that verse 114, Prabhupada describes what is different kinds of killing one's own self, and one main way is to think that the Lord is not a person. To want to merge into the merge into the Brahmajyoti, which is the goal of the jnanis. That by merging into the Brahmajyoti, one loses one's own spiritual identity. So that is a kind of suicide, spiritual suicide. Vaishnavas don't aspire for that, and if they're offered such a liberation, they won't accept it. They may accept, if you insist, yes, living on the same planet, having the same opulences, having a form like Krishna's, but to merge into his identity? No, no, no. Because then how can I serve? Bhakti means there has to be Bhagavan, the Bhakta, and Bhakti. The person you're loving, the Supreme Lord, the devotee, and devotional service, which takes so many forms, and that's another blessing for the common man. That what the nine kinds of devotional service? One of them is to do service, to become a servant and do some active service, like stringing garlands for the Lord, making jewelry for the Lord, cleaning the Lord's temple, cooking for the Lord. So many things. They're active service. But that's only one of the limbs. What are the first two? Hearing and chanting. So simply by hearing about Krishna, simply by hearing his name, and how, just like this poem starts, you didn't want books about you. Give us volumes of books about Krishna. We, other gurus that were coming from India around that time, in the late 60s, early 70s, their movement was known by their name. But Srila Prabhupada, hardly people knew him, but they knew, oh, those Hare Krishna people, the Hare Krishna people. And even if they said something bad about them, Prabhupada said, oh, that's very nice. They complained about Krishna, so they said Krishna's name. So the common man, even if he's rejecting, he still gets benefit. So this is the genius. I get to read every now and then, like once every couple months, I read a little segment of Prabhupada Leelamrita for an online group. And so the last time I read, it was from the description of where Prabhupada went when they first moved to 26 Second Avenue. And that chapter begins with a quote from Allen Ginsberg, which includes, to choose to attend to the Lower East Side, what kindness and humility and intelligence. So this part that I got to read, it was describing a little bit how the generations of immigrants that had moved to basically the slums of New York City, coming from wherever they were coming from with the hope of a new life, this Irish and German, Poles, Ukrainians, and then there was a new kind of pilgrim that came. Only a few years before Prabhupada's arrival, a different kind of slum dweller had appeared on the Lower East Side. And he goes into the description, but it was what later became known as the hippies. And they were actually rejecting the materialism of their surroundings, because America, post-World War II, life was easy for many people. And so they were rejecting this simple materialistic goals of their parents. They were disillusioned by parents, teachers, clergy, public leaders, and the media, dissatisfied with American policy in Vietnam, and allured by radical political ideologies that exposed America as a cruel, selfish, exploitative giant who must now reform or die. And they were searching for real love, real peace, real existence, and real spiritual consciousness. So this was the part of the population that was so ripe for Srila Prabhupada's entrance. And Krishna sent him at just the right time. So for Maharaj Pariksit to meet all the great sages at the time of his death was certainly auspicious for him, and thus he was blessed by the so-called curse of a Brahmana's boy. So many of the devotees have come from all different backgrounds, but Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that four kinds of pious men surrender unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise. So I know when I came, it was because of distress. And many, I think, could agree it happened like that for them. Some were fortunate and just wise. But however it is, one contacts the devotee and has the great fortune of having open ears to hear, then our good fortune begins. So I'd like to see if anybody has any comments at this point or any questions. Or additions or corrections. It's also the disappearance day of Srila Ramanujacharya. I did bring something that I can read, but I was hoping somebody would have a comment. actually, I thought of something else. I'm not very good at like organizing. I just think of things. And one thing I thought of is that in this chapter, the chapter itself is called The Appearance of Shukadev Goswami. So in a few verses, he will come on the scene. And we know that when he appears there, because he left home just after taking birth, even though he was 16 years in the womb, so he was a 16-year-old newborn, but he got to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from his father before he went out on his own. But he was traveling looking very extraordinary. He was dressed in nothing but the 10 directions and followed by a group of young ladies and boys, girls that just thought, oh, who is this extraordinary character? They were just following him. But these sages, all of them were expert in the art of physiognomy. And just by, I mean, I never had these awarenesses before coming to Krishna consciousness, but there definitely are people who, just like some astrologers, they can look at your chart and know so many details about you that you would not even want them to know, but there they are, because it's in your chart. So other people can read facial characteristics, physical characteristics, and understand something about your past life, something about your present life, something about your character. So all these sages were qualified like that. And as soon as Shukadev Goswami appeared on the scene, they all stood up to honor him, which is extraordinary when you consider I think the only ones that didn't stand up were Vyasadev, his father, Narada, his spiritual master, and maybe one other. But they all recognized immediately, this is a great soul. So what that, oh, go ahead, Madhumati. Okay, but what that reminded me of is another little story. So do you want to make a comment and then I'll tell my story? Okay, so here's the story. This Atmatattva Prabhu, God brother, he was from South India, so he did preaching there a lot. And he once met a person from, and I can't remember exactly, I couldn't find the reference, but I remembered that it was like a person in one of the sampradayas, but that's a Vaishnav sampradaya. But he also was expert in the art of physiognomy. So when Atmatattva Prabhu was showing him the books, he showed him a picture of Srila Prabhupada, because all the books have that in the beginning. And the man looked at it, and he said, oh, this is a very special personality. He actually took his ruler and was comparing the length of Prabhupada's ear to the size of his head and all these things. And they said, could you get me a full body picture of him? And so Atmatattva Prabhu was able to do that and bring it to the man. And his conclusion was that all the four sampradayas are fully represented in this person. All the four Vaishnava sampradayas. So that's, I just think because this year is the 100th anniversary of Prabhupada getting that instruction to preach in the West, every day practically we could celebrate and glorify that such an amazing, exalted soul came to deliver us. Okay, Madhumati.
Thank you for your wonderful class, Madhumati. Nice to see you here.
Nice to be here.
So you're mentioning that how, you know, Prabhupada mentioned that Maharaj Parikshit could be the speaker and Shukadev Goswami could be here. They're all qualified. And, you know, audience, we have Vyasadev there and Narad Muni. It's interesting, I always thought that how Shukadev Goswami, when he came out of the womb and he left, And we know all that whole pastime about those who were taking bath in the river and they covered themselves and for Vyasadeva, and they didn't. In that pastime, it almost is like as if Shukdev Goswami was in a higher consciousness than Vyasadeva. It's almost like that because the ladies saw that Vyasadeva, they mentioned that Vyasadeva made distinction, where Sukadev Goswami didn't. And it almost seemed like Vyasadeva was like, oh, my son, you know, and so he's wanting his son and thanking for his son. So it almost seems as if, you know, Sukadev Goswami in the higher consciousness than Vyasadeva. But that's interesting that later on, I mean, Vyasadeva actually wanted to have a son so that he could teach the Bhagavatam to that person, and Sukadev Goswami leaves. But then Shukadev Goswami comes back to hear from his father the Bhagavatam. So then there you kind of see, oh, look at that. Shukadev Goswami is actually hearing from his father, who was lamenting that his father left. But then things turn around, and then Shukadev Goswami is the one who is the speaker of the Bhagavatam, and he's praised for his expression to deliver to the common man. And so much praised, almost as if he's higher in his consciousness, in his expression, than Vyasadeva. So I just think that it's very, very interesting how things go, and the, your point that everybody, you know, Maharaj Pariksit could be the speaker and Shukadev Goswami the listener. Just like thinking about your comment and just expressing that between Vyasadeva and Shukadev Goswami, the father and the son, and how it kind of went back and forth, at least in my materialistic kind of way of thinking, I was...
Yeah, no, that. It's very wonderful. I mean, that's the thing is, what is it? That may be a way of applying achintya bheda, abheda tattva, that yes, simultaneously, they're both qualified, and yet they're different. And because we're personalists, things do take... I mean, where was I just reading about how, maybe just hearing from Srila Prabhupada, that he was trying to establish that Krishna is the supreme, that all the demigods, maybe what Sukadeva was giving on yesterday, the demigods, they have so many powers, but all of them, they're dependent on Krishna. And also, you know, I was hearing him talk about how you can see Krishna everywhere. If you, he was saying, Rasoham Apsukante Yad, he went on for quite a while, that I am the taste of water. And then Prabhupada said, the taste of liquid, any liquid. If you're drinking water, or even wine. If when you're drinking it, you remember that Krishna is the taste of it, gradually you will come. And I'm like, how far he can go? He'll reach to any length to try to turn somebody around. Like we heard the other day, that man that insulted him. Afterwards, they'd gone up to an engagement at a Christian seminary or something. A contingency of devotees came, and this one friend of the devotees came, a Mr. Mukherjee. And when Prabhupada started to speak to the nuns and so forth, the man just went on a rant, and he said, why are you coming to give them your concept of God? They already have a concept of God. And the devotees were shocked because the man came with them. He was supposed to be like on their team. We're giving Krishna, you know, a little more detailed explanation. But so the devotees ushered him out or something like that. But then they were so embarrassed, they felt really bad that they invited the man. And then he had been coming, but then he didn't come. But before Prabhupada left that town, he said, you go find Mr. Mukherjee and give him my blessings. And the devotee was like, but Srila Prabhupada, he was so offensive. Prabhupada said, I must have done something to him in a previous life and it was coming back to me. But not only did he not take offense, but he wanted to give the man his blessings so that the man could progress and not have that offense on his record. Oh, I know. There's GBCSPT is doing 26 weeks or 26 sessions over the course of a year. So it's every 2 weeks they're going through the 26 qualities of a pure devotee and how Srila Prabhupada exemplifies. And there, it's together with Siddhanta Prabhu, who has all the memories tapes. So, and he's asking for help if anybody wants to help with this project, because you know you can see the qualities. Devotee of the Lord, the first one is kind to everyone. And the second one, he doesn't pick a quarrel with anyone. So that pastime was given by someone. You found the video that explained and demonstrated how Srila Prabhupada didn't pick a quarrel. So, yeah. Incredible.
There's one online question from Mahavishnu Priya Mataji. Can you mention anything about if there is any sadness when a great personality like Maharaj Parikshit leaves our planet?
Definitely, there is sadness. Even Krishna, when he was playing the part of a human being and someone told him that Nanda Maharaj, or was it Vasudeva, had passed away, Krishna exhibited sadness. So, and when Srila Prabhupada left, all the devotees were merged in an ocean of grief. And I think it's generally acknowledged that in some ways it may have been a mistake on the part of some of the leaders to continue. I heard the leaders themselves saying they regretted having said business as usual or business more than usual. Go out and collect, distribute books, because this is how we please Srila Prabhupada. The mood was to keep on serving. But and in many cases, devotees were not informed that Srila Prabhupada had said, everybody should come. I want all my disciples to come to Vrindavan. Nobody got that. For the most part, that message was not conveyed. So we should have had a time of mourning. It's normal to mourn and grieve the passing of a great soul, because although the occasion of appearance and disappearance are both glorious, and the personality whose appearance or disappearance day is more accessible on that day, still for those who've had the association of a great soul, knowing I won't see him again in this life, that is cause for a great sorrow. So I hope that helps Mahavishnu Priya. Actually, thanks for asking that question, because I heard that just this morning at 1:30 a.m., a wonderful devotee who had served at Gitanagari for many, many years, Bali Maharaj Das, a disciple of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, left his body. And anybody who knew him has to love Bali. What can I say? He was fearless. Before he came to live in the temple, he was driving an ice cream truck in Washington, D.C. And at one point, someone robbed him at gunpoint, and Bali didn't give him any money, and the man shot at him. He missed him, but he actually shot bullets at Bali. And then when he didn't get any money, he went away. And so the neighborhood kids who had seen all this, they came and asked him, what happened? And he was just telling what happened. Aren't you afraid? No, I'm not afraid. And he's like, why aren't you afraid? I got somebody much bigger on my side. Who? The mayor? Oh no, much bigger than him. The president? No, much bigger than him. And he was fearless right from the beginning. And actually, when I didn't have nearly as much association with Bali as some people had, but I do remember one time I hearing, I think Ekavira Prabhu, who was temple president at the time, he used to buy and sell machinery or cars, something to get some income. So Bali had gone with him to this man's house that was selling some farm equipment or something. And Bali stayed in the truck, and Ekavira went with the man into the house. But between the truck and the house, there was a fenced-in yard, and there was a very aggressive and big dog in the yard. So Ekavira and the man were inside talking business, and all of a sudden, here comes Bali at the door. And the man just stared at him. He said, "How did you get past my dog?" And Bali just, "Oh, I just said to him, you know, hi, fellow." And I mean, because he was fearless. Like they say, animals can smell fear, particularly dogs. They will attack. But there was no fear to smell. He just patted him and resonated with him and went on in. So extraordinary soul has left us. But oh, and the other thing I do remember Bali telling me was when he got to go to India one time. And he went to Mayapur first and saw Radha Madhava and the Astasakis. And it was such a beautiful sight. He was just in awe. And then after that, he went to Vrindavan. And when he saw Radha Shyama Sundar, he started to cry. So our Radha Shyama are expansions of those Radha Shyama. So we all give blessings, and I just think of seeking blessings from some great soul like Bali Maharaj. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.